Bless them. Bless them, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you all for your participation in giving this morning. God loves a cheerful giver, and we are blessed to come this far by faith, trusting in the Lord. When we made that decision to buy this place after many years of just going from place to place, renting and so on, it was an act of faith, and we made that decision, and God honored it. And we came into a building with wires hanging down, with a floor messed up, with a alcohol bar in the back, and a wet bar up here, and because of giving, it was changed to what we have today. Hallelujah. And the building's paid for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Not just the building, but all the way to the creek. You know, it's ours. And so we are blessed today to do that. Hallelujah. One of the words that came to me early this morning is give the devil a black eye. Last week I preached on suffering and helping those that are suffering. And you might go around feeling like we're defeated. No, we're not. We are victorious in the Lord. I heard about an American that went to Mexico, and he didn't know any Spanish. He had heard the word "see." He didn't know what it meant. And someone came up to him and said, "¿Quiere luchar?" Do you want to fight? He said, "See." And the guy just beat him to a pulp. And then the Mexican guy said, "Suficiente? Have you had enough?" He said, "No." So he beat him up again. Well, I ask you this morning, do you want to fight the enemy? Are you ready to fight? Are you ready to come against the powers of darkness that are pervading in this world today and all of these things that are happening? Are you ready to stand on the promises of God? Russell Kelso Carter, 1849 to 1928. Any of y'all remember those years? Okay, I don't. He was a star athlete of a military academy, an excellent student academically. He went on to be a successful teacher and a coach. He spent several years as an ordained Methodist minister, after which he went to medical school. He spent the last of his professional years as a doctor of medicine. He was also a musician and a songwriter. In 1886, he co-edited Songs of Perfect Love, which had some songs like Beulah Land and Feel Me Now. And this hymn book included Carter's most famous hymn, Standing on the Promises. Have you heard that song? I'm not going to sing it, but let me just tell you what's in it. It says, standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. He says, I will shout and sing. I heard something this week that was phenomenal. It was a recorded message by Green Acres Baptist Church. And Brother David Dyke said, we used to be called the Shouting Methodist, the Shouting Baptist, he said, the Shouting Baptist. My grandma was a Shouting Methodist. But said, we used to be called the Shouting Baptist, and said there's still a group over in Virginia that on their sign says Shouting Baptist. He said, what did that mean? Said that means someone said hallelujah, someone else said praise the Lord, someone else said say that. And he said, we're going to do that today. And he said, say glory hallelujah. And they did. He said, no, a little louder, say hallelujah, hallelujah, say glory to God, hallelujah, someone say amen. And he said, let's do it again. And so I actually saw Green Acres Baptist Church shouting a little bit this week, you know. Amen. It says, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Sometimes you have to have a little volume in your voice so that you'll know, so you'll hear it, so you'll know what you're saying. You will affirm what you're saying. He said, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing. Believe it or not, I used to be a song leader. That's where we had worship teams. And it was standing, how long can you hold it? You know, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. You know, and it was not ever really something that a song leader would say, you can do that sitting down. They'd make you stand. I'm not going to do that. Standing on the promises, I now can see perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. See, there was a lot of theology in these hymns. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fail. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, I cannot fall. Spirit's call, resting in my Savior is my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Although Carter was a professional Christian most of his life, it wasn't until a crisis within his natural heart that he began to understand the reality and power of the Bible promises. We have Sister Betty in the hospital recovering from open heart surgery, and it didn't really go too well, but it says his natural heart, he began to understand the reality of the power of the Bible's promises. At age 30, his health was in critical condition, and the physicians could do no more for him. Carter turned to God for help and healing. He knelt and made a promise that healing or no, his life was finally and forever fully consecrated to the service of the Lord. It was from that moment that the written word of God became alive to Carter. He began to stand upon the promises of healing, determining to believe no matter what his physical condition, no matter how he felt. Over the course of the next several months, his strength returned. His heart was completely healed. Carter lived another healthy 49 years. Amen. I was thinking about this Christian life. I was even this morning as we were worshiping, just wondering if there's people that have never worshiped the Lord and they come in, do they really know why we do this? Do they know that this is a life that is a choice we make to respond to faith in Jesus, but that it is a life that anyone should want? And the other way is not the way to go. My favorite scripture, I think, in preaching is, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This is a walk that we have. It's a life that we have that is abundant. It's that which anybody would want. It's what God had planned for every human being. And we are able to have that. My message this morning is standing on the promises of the Word of God. When I was serving as director of Teen Challenge, one of our workers was having trouble with one of the men believing. He just couldn't believe that God could do that for him. I'm not going to do this. But he laid his Bible out, and he said, I want you to stand on the Bible, one foot on one side, one foot on the other. Now, the reason I don't want to do that is because that's an expensive Bible. It's a gift someone gave me. It's the revival edition of the Bible, and I don't want to tear the pages out. But he stood there, and it soaked in that we can stand on the Word of God. We can stand on the promises in God's Word, that we are able to appropriate what God has said there. I found this scripture several years ago. It had already been in there when I found it, but I preached several messages on it back in those days that I was working with the drug addicts in Teen Challenge, and it's in 1 Kings 8:56. And it says, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Now listen to this. This was what really struck me those years ago, 30 or so years ago, when I saw this the first time. There has not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. There has not failed one word which he promised. There's another scripture in Joshua that says the same thing. You see, it's the word of God that brings that faith within us, that allows us to depend and to rely upon and to trust in the word of God. want to talk about faith this morning. You know, sometimes there's things that come down that makes us kind of steer away. There's a movement that had some extremes. They called it hyper faith movement. And because of things like that, that people tend to say, well, we're not going to go there that much anymore. Listen, at the Word of God, we need to be there. There's problems with a group called Jesus Only, but it is Jesus Only. It really is, you know, and because of things like that, we tend to stare away from using the name of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus. Let me have that water. God provided water for times like this, you know. And by the way, someone gave us 600 filters this week that you can drink creek water and it's supposed to not hurt you. I don't know how it would taste, but it's available if you want one. I've got 600 of those, so, and I can get more. But the water was good. But we tend to steer away from those things. But God is able to bring all of His truth right into line with what needs to be there. And my grandma named her youngest daughter Faith. And she is known to her dying day as Aunt Faith. We recognize that we need to rise up in faith. And when you're down, when you're depressed, when you're heavy, you just need to reach out in faith and grab hold of life again and the promises of God. We tend to eliminate things if it goes into excess, but we have to understand faith. And I want to move into that a little bit this morning. We cannot have faith in faith. We need to have faith in the faithful Jesus. And then we will never fall into other ways. It seems that we can hardly be shocked at anything that would happen in our world today. So we need, as a body of people, not only to preach a message of salvation for people to come to know the Lord, or to people that need to come back to the Lord that have fallen away, but we need to prepare our congregation to live in a very troubled world. We need to pray for the people in Paris. We have a missionary there in France that is right near Paris, and we need to pray for these people that have gone through this shocking thing. But it's like there's no place safe anymore. We can be safe in the arms of the Lord. And yet, like I said last Sunday, the judgment is on the just and the unjust. And so we recognize that there's people that probably knew the Lord that fell into this tragedy that took place by terrorists in Paris this week. But we could have faith in the Lord. What is faith? Well, a country preacher said it's believing what ain't. And several acrostics that say, forsaking all, I trust Him. That's faith. The Scripture says, now faith, and some people just start there and preach it. It's a now faith. It's not a yesterday faith. It's not a tomorrow faith. It's a now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. So we recognize that it is that faith that is given. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And we are people of hope, but we're people of faith also. And how do you receive this faith? Well, it's the grace of God at a time of salvation that brings us into trusting in the Lord, and it's a faith to be saved. It's there. But the Scripture in Romans 10:17 says, so when faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, we recognize the promises of God. I want to show you something here. When I grew up, something like this was on the table. It was called the Promise Box. And in devotions with our family, you would reach out and you would just pick out one in random. And it was always something you needed for that day. It was the promises of God. And look how many it is, full of that box. It's a little different now. This is something that Robert and Kimberly gave me. It's called His Promises of Hope. It's on my desk. It's a little card that you can take out. And by the way, that's what's in your church news every week. It says, our future, for surely you have a future ahead of you. Your hope will not be disappointed. And so it's another promise box that is there. Probably on the internet, you can sign up for a promise to just hit your email every day, because the promises of God are there. We are able to depend upon the promises of God. The scripture there again, it says, blessed be the Lord who's given rest to his people. He says, he's promised, there's not failed one word of his good promise. And so we recognize that we can believe for the impossibilities. Charles Wesley said, faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and rests on that alone. It laughs at impossibilities and says, it shall be done. So we recognize that it's that the promise sees and laughs at impossibilities and says that it shall be done. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we receive the word of God, the faith is enlarged in our lives, and it is there. When I first started out in ministry, well, I really had never been to Bible school. I just obeyed the Lord and did what he said. And that first Tuesday night, we announced to those hippies we were going to have a service. Well, then I thought, well, somebody's got to preach. Well, I wasn't a preacher. I was a businessman. But I thought, well, I better get something, you know, and I just began to study. I think one of my first sermons was about Samson, and I called it losing your hair, but lowering your ears, but losing your hair, something like that. Lowering your ears for a haircut, you know, lowering your ears and losing your head. But I began to preach. Well, you know, I just took the Bible very literally. You can usually do that. You can't separate the scriptures. You can't read one scripture that said Joseph, went out and hanged himself. Judas went out and hanged himself. Another scripture says, go and do thou likewise. You know, you have to be careful. It's called hermeneutics. I didn't know that word at that time. But I found a scripture in the Bible that said, with men it's impossible, but with our God all things are possible. And I just believed it. And later I went to Bible school, and I had a course in hermeneutics, and I learned that you really can't do that. That particular scripture, you need to see what it was there for and the backing of that. And it was about, will a rich man go to heaven? And I just thought it meant, will drug addicts be delivered? Will hippies get saved? You know, will God supply the needs? And I just went on, and I realized that I had started two ministries and a business based on that scripture that says, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I got to go back to Southwestern Bible College and share a message and tell them that. You know, that I didn't know all they taught me, but I did start two ministries and a business, you know, believing on that scripture. But it's true anyway that it's impossible with man is possible with God. All things are possible. And it's called hermeneutics. We got two Hermans here, I think. But we're blessed to know we can depend upon the promises of God. So faith, let me tell you what is the opposite of faith. Fear. Doubt that comes in. And this enemy that wants to come in and to destroy your progress and destroy and put lies in your heart, well, he is the one that puts those doubts there. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So if God didn't give it to you, where'd it come from? So we have to put on the boxing gloves and fight the fight of faith and say we're going to have faith in the Lord, faith in the promises of God. The Bible talks about little faith. That's better than none. Jesus was asleep in the boat during a storm. And all of a sudden the storm came up and his disciples were afraid because fear came in. And they woke him up and said, don't you care that we're perishing? And of course he woke up. He knew it was there all the time. But he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves. And immediately there was a calm right on the Sea of Galilee, right there. And then he looked at them and said, "Oh, you of little faith, you of little faith, that have you not been with me this long and still you do not believe, still you are not aware that he is the master of the storm?" And I just throw that in right now. If you're going through a storm in life, realize that he knows about it and that he can rebuke the winds and the waves and there'll be a great calm. If it's not, and I've experienced this before, that the answer wasn't there visibly, but in my heart I knew it had been answered. Before the evidence was there, the faith was there that said, "It is done." Faith, the promise sees, laughs at impossibilities, and says, "It shall be done." Then there's a great faith that the Scripture talks about, and that's what we should all aspire to live by, is a great faith. This was actually a centurion that was not a follower of Jesus, but he had heard about Jesus, and he had a servant that was sick, and he came to Jesus and he said, I want you to come and heal him. And Jesus said, "Okay, I will come." He said, "But if you will speak the word, my servant will be healed." See, he said, "I'm also a man of authority, and I say to one, go, and he goes, come, and he comes." He said, "And if you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed." And Jesus said, "Go your way, he is healed." And then Jesus said, "I've not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel." And this was from a man that I'm sure after that became a follower of Jesus, but it's a great faith. It is a total trust in Jesus. You can lean back on Jesus and not worry about falling because he will carry us through. And then the Scripture talks about no faith. And he says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him." So without faith would be a no faith. So we need to have faith in order to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And so this baptism we have next week, we will ask, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He says you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We are to be seekers, a people that are seeking the Lord. You never get through. Someone baptized the Holy Spirit said, "Well, I'm glad I got it." That's that. No, it's not that. That's just a commencement. That's just a beginning. Discipleship never issues diplomas. We are growing Christians every day, and we must know that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and keep on seeking him. Then the apostles said, "Increase our faith." They said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And so the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed," Luke 17:5, "you can say to that mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." And so that is an increasing faith that we can have. Then the Scripture tells us, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. And there's something I call God's Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame, there's the sports world that has their halls of fame, but this is much better in several scriptures here in Hebrews 11. We call it the faith chapter, all about faith. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." It was through his faith in God that God was pleased with his sacrifice. It cost him his life because his brother Cain was jealous that God accepted him and not his own. But it was by faith that he offered up a more excellent sacrifice. Goes on to say, by faith Enoch, verse 7, was taken away so that he did not see death. He walked with God. The fellowship was there. Oh, that we could have a walk like that. That we're walking with God. Makes me think of the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. They didn't know they were walking with Jesus as we walked with him by the way. They walked with him by the way, and yet when he went in with them and sat down and took the bread and blessed it, he vanished from their sight. And they said, "Did our hearts not burn within us as we walked with him by the way?" It was walking like Enoch did, walking with God. Adam was walking with God, had fellowship in the cool of the evening, and we can walk with God. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. What faith to build an ark on dry land that never had a flood. The people ridiculed him, mocked him, scoffed at him, and yet he kept on building because he had that word from the Lord. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. By the way, we have an ark today. It's called the Church of Jesus. And that's where that we need to stay, in the ark. Don't ever move away from what God has prepared for the safety and the salvation of our souls. 11:8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Sometimes that walk of faith is it's a word. It's there. It's like they said that Peter, when he walked on the water, that he was walking on the W and the O and the R and the D. He was walking on the word, not on the water, but on the word. And there's times we don't know where we're going, and yet we can be safe in the arms of the Lord. As things continue to get more difficult in this life, we can trust that God is faithful and he's going to be there with us all the way. 11:11, by faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. She didn't have faith at first. She laughed when God said, this is what you're going to have. You're going to get pregnant and have a child in her old age. But by faith, she received that seed and bore a child when she was past the age of childbearing. 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He went as far as tying him up and putting him on top of the wood pile. He said, I see the wood. I see the fire. I don't see the animal. And Abraham said, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Oh, thank you, Lord. This is Thanksgiving week, Thanksgiving month. Can you just stop and thank the Lord for what he's provided? There was a song that was out, and when I tell you the lyrics, you'll know how long ago it was, because it had to do with payphones. For some of you young ones, there was a time that you put money in a phone, you know. It went like this. I can tell you the time when I didn't have a dime. I couldn't call on anybody but the Lord. But he heard my prayer and rescued me. You know that we can depend upon the Lord. And that was Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And he did. A ram in the thicket. And Isaac's life was spared. 11:20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He knew that he was going to die, but he wanted to bless their future. And that's what that scripture said, that we have a future and a hope. 11:21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. So he was a man of faith. He was there. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Look how he was blessed in Egypt, from prisoner to prime minister in one day. And yet, he knew who he was. And he knew that God was going to deliver the people. And he did not want his bones left in Egypt. And he gave instructions, said, take my bones out of this God-forsaken place and take them into the promised land. And so we recognize the faith of these that were there. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. What faith God had given to his mother to make a little boat, a faith boat, and put him in it, and that God would provide a Pharaoh's daughter to rescue him and to bring him up. Why? Because he had a future and a hope And God knew that he was going to use this one. And Lord, we pray for little Hezekiah Gingrich today, Lord, who is grasping for life. God, that you have a plan for him, and he's supposed to come in February, but he came in November. Lord, we pray that you'll be with those doctors, you'll be with those nurses. Lord, that you will be with this baby that's fighting for his life. Jesus' name we pray, oh God. 11:29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Keith Green wrote the song and called them dirty Egyptians. They took a bath. But they walked on dry land, not in muddy land, on dry land. I'm sure that was a fabulous thing. That's better than any aquarium you would ever see. You're walking through the Red Sea, and you look and you see those beautiful corals. You see the fish swimming right beside you, and yet you can't get too distracted because you've got to keep going. And just as God opened it, he closed it, and we recognize that faith was what had Moses to do it. I like to put it like this. Moses, miraculously, all of those plagues and everything, Pharaoh finally said, get out of here quick, especially that last one where it killed his own son. He said, get out of here quick. Then he changed his mind, and all of a sudden, they come to the Red Sea. Well, Moses had instructions for all these other things, what to do and what God was going to do and everything about throwing the rod down, it becomes a snake, pick it back up, it becomes a rod, and all of this. He had those instructions. But here he is at the Red Sea, and he looks to the right, and he sees water. He looks to the left, he sees water. He looks ahead, he sees water. He looks behind him, and here comes Pharaoh and his chariots coming after them to take them back. There was only one place to look, and he looked up. He looked up, and God said, stay still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, there's times that we'll face things like that. Circumstances will look like it will not help us. A guy said, how are you doing today? He said, pretty good under the circumstances. He said, you need to get on top of them, sir, not under the circumstances. He had circumstances, but when he looked up, he got on top of those circumstances, and God opened the door, and the miracle was there. There's a miracle waiting for us if we'll wait for it. Amen. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Sounded impossible. God says, do this. First day, nothing happened. Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Seventh day, said, shout, and the walls will come down. Seemed impossible. Never had happened before. But God did it. How'd he do it? I don't know, earthquake or something, but he did it, and they walked across there. Hebrews 11:32, it gives a summary of the scripture similar to this. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received the dead raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, still others had trial of mocking and scourging, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Oh, what a situation to be in. But verse 39 says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, for God having provided something better, Jesus. You know, we read the scriptures and we think, well, I read that chapter. The chapters were put in there by scholars. They weren't there in the original, and you always have to look ahead. And the next scripture in verse 12:1 says, therefore, One person said, when you see, therefore, look what it's there for. Therefore, we also, who? Us today. 2015, I started to say 16. My calendar's moving ahead. 2015, therefore, we also, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, so those that went before us. I'm just concentrating, enamored about how that from the days of the Old Testament, then the coming of Jesus, and these 2,000 plus years that have happened since then, that this gospel continues to be transferred from one generation to another. It says, we have a great cloud of witnesses, not just those up there, but this guy Carter that I read about at the beginning of the message. These people that were faithful, these people that wrote commentaries with a little candlelight there, and spent their whole life writing on one commentary book of the Bible, that it says, therefore, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily traps and snares us. Let us run with endurance, patience, the race that is set before us. How? Just like Moses did, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, a place of authority there, as he is able to do that. He's going to walk this earth again, and he will be the ruler. But for the kingdom of God, those that are participating in the kingdom of God, those that are part of the kingdom of God, he is ruling us now from the right hand of the Father, and we can depend upon him. We can depend upon his holy word, the scriptures that we stand on. We can stand on the promises, and we can recognize that word, and we can be led by the Spirit of God. And as the Spirit gives us a word to stand on, well, then we are able to do that also. It can never be different from God's written word, because that is the what we go by for law and life is the scriptures. But there's words that come to us, words of encouragement, an encouragement from someone else that gives us that extra faith that we can move forward in. He has promised to meet our needs. So we recognize that we are able to depend and stand on the promises of God. Philippians 4:19 and 20 says, my God shall supply all your need. Everyone say all. All your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. When we read that scripture, we think of finances. And yeah, it's there for that purpose. But God knows our needs, body, soul, spirit, future, getting over the past, all of the needs that are there. And he says he will supply all of our needs. Who will do that? Jesus, our Lord. Our God, Jesus, that will be there to supply our needs, whatever those needs are. Not just physical finances or meeting that certain need. It says all of our needs. He knows our needs. My Jesus knows my every need, and he is there to supply. He has also a promise to meet our needs, but he has a promise to listen to us, to hear us. Jeremiah 33:3. Years ago, they had telephone numbers that had letters and numbers, and I would say, well, the God's phone number, JER333. Well, look what it says. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. He says, I will answer. We used to sing the song, the Royal Telephone. Central's never busy, always on the line. It's not ever busy, not any time. And so this is what we're saying, is that there's a promise here that your prayer is not in vain. We can call upon the Lord, and he will answer us. It's not going to be busy. It's not going to be one of those voice message things that says, if you'll please leave your message at the end of this tone, you know, or something. It's not going to be that way. He hears us the first time. He says, I will answer you. He has promised to give us power. We're going to need help in this life. We're going to need a power from on high, a power beyond ourselves, beyond what we can do. Yeah, there's manpower. There's brain power. There's computer power. But there's God power. And we recognize that he's promised to give us power. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able. Able means power. To give exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. Is that us or not? Forever and ever. Amen. I want to tell you about a great promise this morning. Maybe you've received that promise. Maybe you haven't. But it's the promise of salvation. You say, well, I know that God couldn't save me. I'm too wicked. Oh, he loves the wicked people. He loves the wicked people. Brother Randall tells a story about how that when he came to Calvary Commission as a student, he'd just been there about 4 months, and he was asked to take care of the tuition. And he had to take it and walk down to the office and turn it in. And he said he thought, why is Joe letting me do this? Don't he know that I went to prison for armed robbery? And someone said, Joe loves armed robbers. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus does too. The reason I like armed robbers is because they're bold. And they say, give me that gun, I'll get us some money. But they get saved, sanctified, filled with the Spirit, discipled. They'll say, give me that Bible, I'll go take over that country. Amen. I believe it's a great opportunity we have to take the world's worst and turn them into God's best and be able to say, this is how we're going to reach this generation. We're going to be there to do that. In 1977, well, I was in St. Louis, and I saw a big green sign that said Chicago. And the Lord seemed to impress me, take them there. Take who there? Well, you know, these people that have got out of prison, that got changed lives, and take them there. See what they can do on the streets of Chicago. So we did it. We went. And people would say, well, your God can't help me. I'm a drug addict, and I've got a $100 a day habit. And the guy would say, well, I was a drug addict too, and I had a $200 a day habit. Jesus changed my life. You saved me. And we saw people, and we left with a church that had been planted there because that God can take the world's worst and turn them into his best. And we can recognize that salvation will do that. And that if you're here today and you don't know what salvation is, it's called being born again. It's called having your name written in a new birth record in heaven. And not just the Smith County records, but in heaven. And that it is there as a new birth record, the Lamb's Book of Life that is there, and your name can be there. What's the promise? Listen to it. It's in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I used to tell the people on the streets of Tyler that many people miss heaven by 18 inches, and I had their attention. What do you mean? Well, it's between, you might have it up here, but you don't have it here. I don't know if it's 18 inches or not, but it sounded good. That it says you got to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Not just mental assent, but it's a giving of your life to the Lord. He says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, then the mouth, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so that's a scripture you can use in witnessing to anybody that's how you get saved. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart in the resurrection that God has raised him from the dead. You believe that heart one believes unto righteousness. Mouth confession is made into salvation. Another promise is that he won't leave you there where you got in. He will train you, disciple you. As you follow him, he will disciple you. And the scripture in Jeremiah 29:13, and like you were seeing, I'm using lots of scriptures because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. It says, you will seek me and find me. So we all have to be seekers, continually seeking more of the Lord. The song says, more love, more power, more of you in my life, more. He says, when you search for me with all your heart. So we've got to be a people that we've crossed that line, the world has lost its attraction, that we are able to say, the world behind me, the cross before me, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I'm going with the Lord. It says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And the scripture that we started with, I just want to repeat it. I want you to have that in your heart and your mind today as you leave. 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. So we recognize today that the Lord has given us promises for life, promises that we can walk together in, that we would be able to have that. I want you to stand with me this morning. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe Shelby, you can put on that altar music back there, and we will begin to see what God says to us today as a congregation, to receive the word into your heart and to walk in the promises of God. Lord, I pray this morning that we would be a people that recognizes that we're going to be shocked, but we shouldn't be, at all that happens, even in the coming days. But Lord, in the midst of all of this, that we have the word of God, the promises of God, that we can take and we can go into this world, that we can be light, we can be salt in the earth, and that we would be able, oh God, to recognize that we must be prepared for all that is ahead. Lord, we must be a growing people. We must seek you while you may be found and call upon you while you are near, Lord. God, we ask you this morning, Lord, to take us in. Take us in, Lord. Lord, as your word has been preached, as the word of God has been read, Lord, you've promised to hear us. We ask you, Lord, that you would now touch hearts and that we would be able to respond. Folks, the altar is going to be open this morning. Altar is a place of sacrifice. It's a place of saying, God, I cannot do it by myself, but with your help, I can do it. You may be here this morning and you say, when you were talking about getting saved, I realized that I'm not, but I want to be. Right here in front, we can share with you how to just give your life to the Lord, how to repent of your sins, that he will be faithful to forgive your sins and cleanse you, make you clean again. He will do that. He is here. His presence is with us today. Jesus, the same one that was in that boat in that storm, walked the shores of Galilee, he went to the cross for you, that was raised from the dead. He's here. His presence. He sent his spirit back. His presence is here to save you today. And so we don't want you to leave if you're not ready to meet the Lord. We don't know what the future is, but we know that God is able. You may be a believer today, and yet you realize that you haven't been seeking the Lord for growth, that you've been maybe sliding back the other way instead of going forward. The altar's open for you too. You may be that one that has special needs. Maybe you're sick in your body this morning. The scripture says, if there be any among you that is afflicted, let them call for the elder of the church. Let them anoint with oil in the prayer of faith to save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. We can pray for you this morning. Maybe you've got a physical need, financial need, a need to get victory in your life again, a need to be able to fight the devil, give him a black eye, feel weak this morning. Scripture says that if you have something that upsets you, that we can go to the Lord in prayer, that he is there. That he is there for us. He's there to reach into our lives. You be willing, obedient. you'll receive from the Lord. We've got some time this morning before our usual 12 o'clock departure. Obey the Lord. Precious God. He's faithful. He's faithful. Thank you, Lord. David, won't you come and help me with these that have come forward? Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Charlotte, would you pray for me? Charlotte. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Victory in Jesus. Lord, we look to you. We praise you this day, oh God. We say you are our God, our King, and our salvation, oh Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Precious God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Leslie, you wanted to pray this morning for Paris. Come ahead. We have a missionary there, David Porter.
Yeah, I just really felt like while we're here, while we're all here gathered together, let's take the opportunity to pray. Our prayers can move mountains, and there has been a tremendous tragedy that has taken place in Paris, in France. And we need to pray for those people. We need to pray for those people and just stand in the gap. And so let's just join together now in a city that's just been broken. That's just been broken in tragedy. I just feel like we need to pray. And so let's all of us just stand together and pray for them, okay? Yeah, Father God, we just lift up the nation of France, Lord, and we pray specifically for Paris, Lord, and you see those people and you see the devastation and the bloodshed that has taken place in that city. And you're not callous to it. You don't stand far off, but you hover over there and you weep with the people. You weep with the people, Jesus, because you say you are very close to the brokenhearted, Lord. And I just take that scripture that says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I just pray, Lord, that you would comfort the grieving, Jesus, that have lost people, Lord. I pray that you would be with all the people affected. I pray that you would strengthen the leadership there, Lord. I pray for your anointing at this time, Lord. It's almost overwhelming even to know what to do in this situation, Lord. I pray for your blessing, your anointing on the government and the government officials and on the emergency workers and on the police, Lord. We lift them up to you in Jesus' name. And I pray that at this time I speak over that city. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I just pray, Lord, that what the devil meant for evil, you would turn around for good and for your glory. And I pray for many, many people in the nation of France and in Europe as a whole, that this would be a wake-up call to them in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, for spiritual awakening,
yes,
to come to the continent of Europe,
yes,
in
Lord.
The name of Jesus. I pray for revival to come from right at that place, Lord.
Jesus.
Lord, where you say a seed falls to the ground and dies and it remains only one, but if it dies, it produces a spiritual harvest.
Oh,
and
yes,
I pray right there,
yes, Lord,
right there in the center of this tragedy,
Jesus.
I pray many, many, many souls will be saved. I pray that this bloodshed would not be in vain, but I pray, Lord, for spiritual awakening right there in the very center of Europe, Lord. In Jesus' name, we just pray your blessing. We pray your peace. We pray your comfort, Lord, and all that you want to do in the midst of this, Lord. But most of all, we do pray for many, many, many souls.
Jesus.
to turn to you at this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we just continue to pray for Carla Abney and for Jason and for Dave and Melissa. Lord, we thank you, God, that they were able to get 90% of the cancer in surgery. And as she faces chemotherapy, Lord, God, we ask you to be with her. Lord, no infection from the surgery. We ask, oh God, Lord, we thank you, God, that during this very difficult time that they have their faith in you, their trust in you, and they are seeing the body of Christ around the world that is coming together to help them, to pray for them. Jason says he's never heard of such support that has been given to him. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, we pray for Betty Miller that you would be able to just take care of all of that infection that might come and bring her home. Lord, we know that what the doctors say about her heart, but we know, God, that you can prolong her days and give her life. She's needed in your kingdom, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you to bless the food that is being prepared back there, that we would have a time of fellowship, and that you would just bring all that you're desiring out of this time together. In Jesus' name. The meal back there, you know, it's you probably would be going out to eat or something, or at least going to the dollar menu. So whatever you can afford to give for the meal, we would be able to do that. And bless the prison ministry there. Maybe we can get some help to rearrange it. We can get Shelby, see if you can find Standing on the Promises. We'll play that as we go today. Put your hand this way and let's receive the blessing of the Lord. This is called a benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Now go from his place and find a person that needs this word, needs this message. And by the way, this is on our website. If you want to hear it, repeat it, get someone else to listen to it. It's there because Standing on the Promises, I'm sure. So go and find that need and meet it. Be hope and help to someone today, whether it's Walmart or the street corner. Bless you. Thank you for coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faith, the common seas.